Hey, Kitchen Stewardship people, Katie Kimball here, hanging out in the corner, recording with Krista Arecchio of many places. The Whole Journey is one. Krista is a clinical and holistic nutritionist, founder of thewholejourney.com, and she believes in food as medicine. She's all about addressing the root causes of disease and pain. She says, if you have a rock in your shoe, is it better to take off your shoe and remove the rock, or take painkillers and mask the discomfort? Which I love, getting to the root of the problem. And through her work as a nutritionist, she has reached thousands, probably tens and hundreds of thousands, through Gut Thrive and Five, an online healing program that my husband and I gave a shot last year with good luck with it. And her Candida Cleanse, she has multiple books and TV shows. What makes her different than many nutritionists, I think, is that she doesn't focus only on food, but on the whole person's journey, truly right down to relationships, spirituality, creativity, emotions. I'm so pleased to have you here today, Krista. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's fun to be
So the most important fact that I have to share about you right now in this moment is that Krista's latest book, How to Conceive Naturally and Have a Healthy Pregnancy After 30, has come to life. She's got a 4-week-old baby boy, and so we're really honored to that she took half an hour out of her life to join us here today, and we're going to speak about bioindividuality, which is really exciting.
Yes, it is. A wonderful topic, and I don't talk so much about it anymore. So thanks for giving me the opportunity, because once we have the hang of bioindividuality, then we are truly free from diets for life.
That's cool. Yeah, so that's what I've seen. I feel like over the last maybe 10 years, as I've been in the blogosphere talking about health, all these diets have their heyday. You know, it's like everyone should do low carb. Oh, anyone with gut issues must do GAPS. Let's go paleo. Gluten is bad for everyone. Like, but I'm seeing that the health niche is leaning more toward bioindividuality. So can you define this concept for us?
Sure, the concept of bioindividuality is we are all our own unique microcosm based upon how we ate as a child, our ancestry, our blood type, our stress levels. There's so many different factors that go into how does our biochemistry work and thrive, and it's constantly changing as our life changes, as our hormones change, as our age advances. And so and also it matters about the health of your organs, right? And what you need to take care of. So bioindividuality is really addressing all of these factors, taking in the entirety of a person, and then coming up with what works for you now in the moment. And what works for you now may not work for you 3 months from now, especially let's say a situation I'm in. I'm just 1 month postpartum, so I need to take care of myself differently than I will 3 months from now or when I'm not nursing. And it's just really all relative to our constitution.
Which is fascinating and fantastic in my book. And I'm curious in your own history with this as a practitioner. I mean, you've always been a holistic practitioner. You've always appreciated the whole body's contribution to disease on one hand and vibrant health on the other. And I noticed that Gut Thrive in 5 was a program where it was one of the first places that I'd really seen this idea of separating people based on testing. Gut Thrive has 4 different groups and different food recommendations for each group. So I'm really curious personally if you've seen a shift in your own practice over your career when it comes to bioindividuality, and then why or why not?
Oh, for sure. And I think that's why the whole journey would really work for people. Because my whole philosophy is, to teach a man how to fish, don't give a man a fish. So if I were, people come to me in private practice and they're just asking me for a meal plan, and I give them a meal plan, that's not doing anything for bioindividuality or to really help them understand their own personal relationship with food as it relates to life. And so I'm really of the philosophy to teach a man how to fish versus give a man a fish, because in that way we're free of diets, deprivation, willpower, and denial, and we also understand our own bodies better than anyone. We spend a lot of time trying to figure out how does our computer work, how about our phones, how about our washing machines, our TVs, but what about our own body, really understanding, okay, what constitution were you born with? Are you sensitive? Are you stronger? Do you were you born with a strong digestive system? Do you tend to metabolize things slowly? What's the health of your nervous system? That's really important based upon how you should eat. So it's really all of those things that you have to take into consideration, including your relationship with food, not having too many restrictions. I always ask, how did you eat as a child? And what was the dinner table like? Was that a positive environment for you when you're sitting around the dinner table? Because you're taking in the energy, you know, of what you're talking about, what the family dynamic is like. And that really locks in a lot of people's relationship with food. And so we're really working on all levels to help them figure that out. And then I have programs, as you mentioned, that's your husband, and you did Gut Thrive in 5, where there is a specific diet for a period of time to accomplish a certain goal. And so Gut Thrive in 5 is to not only heal the digestive system and the immune system, but to rejuvenate and regenerate both and create this self-sufficiency that lasts for decades to come out of healing the microbiome and mapping that across the other 6 microbiomes that we have in the human body, so that your body is this super intelligent being that can sustain itself. And so in order to achieve that, yeah, we understand that we all have a genetic propensity towards pathogenic imbalance. For me, example, I had candida worse than anyone I could ever imagine. I always say, you know, affectionately, I was Jersey girl, Italian girl raised on pizza, pasta, and antibiotics. And so, yes, that's going to be when I get out of balance, I'm going to need to go and do that cleanup work. And there's other people that they have parasitic imbalances, just a propensity for it, or protozoal or other types of bacterial overgrowth imbalances. And so it's really important to figure out what your genetic propensity is so that you can then eat according to that. And there's just so much power and so much control that we have when we can understand this to affect change that really lasts.
Yeah, which is really cool. And I'm still, my mind's still 2 minutes earlier where you talked about the dinner table and how you grow up. And I'm like, oh gosh, for parents, that's kind of another page out of our parenting handbook. Like, we are going to be permanently creating our children's relationship with food. And when, like, most dinners in my house, it's like, quick, everybody, like, throw some food. Like, dinner's almost not ready. I'm sorry, it's late. Like, it just, it's crazy despite my best intentions. So I might need to up those intentions a little bit.
Well, you know, we're all doing the best we can. And of course, you're running a busy business and you have 4 children. But even just having a moment of mindfulness, right, at the dinner table. Or I have some friends that they say, okay, everyone goes around the table and they say, what was the best and worst part of your day? Just something like that where you relate it with connection, or you take a deep breath before eating. It doesn't have to be you're doing this big mindful ritual, but something to where you're eating in a calmer state and sure, thinking about your food, right? I mean, so many of us, and I can be guilty of this as well. Like, my natural tendency is to be a fast eater. And then, you know, before you know it, you've been checking emails and whatever that was in the bowl or the plate is completely gone. You don't even remember eating it, right? So that's why we don't really even have the experience of having a meal, and we'll end up overeating, or, right, just like if you were to ignore a person, you'd have a poor relationship with them. The same thing as if we ignore our food. So just bringing a modicum of consciousness to it, not trying to be perfect.
Sure. No, that's fascinating, because I have, when I think it was probably through Gut Thrive, learning about the parasympathetic and the sympathetic state and how we should be more calm when we eat. And so to me, like, we do start our meals with prayer. And I thought, oh, so that's kind of like a built-in moment to breathe, except when you're like, okay, like, quick, let's pray, and I'm in the kitchen. And like, oh, like, that really should be like, I should sit down for 30 seconds. And say meal grace, you know, that's a pretty common ritual. So it's really interesting that it's also healthy, not only spiritually, but physiologically too. It's pretty cool.
Physiologically, yeah, you'll digest so much better. You'll produce more enzymes. I'm even trying to teach that to my child, you know, where I calm him down before he nurses. And the lactation consultant, she taught me, I said, you know, funny, I'm a nutritionist and I do believe in mindful eating. And she says, right, so we teach him to tap when he's hungry, and then he'll go, you know, open his mouth that he's ready, but I don't feed him if he's screaming. I calm him down first and then feed him. And Right? It's
Oh
good.
my goodness, that is so interesting. That also not my experience, but that's okay. Nobody's perfect. Got a lot of screaming baby, give to mommy, nurse. Yeah, but at least the nursing would be calm. So coming back to bioindividuality, what do you think would be the benefits for we human beings walking around if medicine could focus more on bioindividuality on a greater scale?
Well, we would have a more proactive health care-based system versus a dis-ease management system. And so there's definitely not a one-size-fits-all approach. And I think we all agree, and your whole tribe watching would say that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And so if we can come up with something for mainstream medicine where they're looking, right, it's you get this printout, because we're all looking at what your blood sugar looks like. We all run a CBC, a complete blood count. That's pretty much the standard primary care medical test you run, where you're looking at your cholesterol, you can check your hormones, you're looking at your blood sugar, and you're looking at your immune system, white blood cells, red blood cells. And so we should add a blood type kit to that. Most people don't even know their blood type unless they've had a child or donated blood. But I do think that is another tool in the toolkit. And once you know what's there, then you can figure out, are you a protein type, a carb type, are you a mixed type? Ketogenic diet might be amazing for someone and heal their disease and throw another person into a liver and gallbladder clogged issue where they, can't get off the couch. And so there's definitely not a one size fits all approach. And that is we always talk about in the whole journey and all of the shows that we do, whenever we talk about these, really kind of die hard cult like followings, I'll say, well, here are in my mind the pros and the cons, and this is when to use this diet as a healing diet. And then I'm always going to be a proponent of moderation. You got to go into the 80-20 balance. I think that paleo-esque, that really works with my programs when we're trying to heal the gut and the immune system. But once you have healed yourself, there's nothing wrong with gluten-free whole grains. If you know how to prepare them to remove the phytic acid, you can get a lot of usable B vitamins, a lot of great fiber. The macrobiotic philosophy, that has a cult-like following for a reason. There's a way to control your emotions through food. And that was my first foray. And even though I eat more paleo-esque now, my first foray into this field 15 years ago, I ate vegan macrobiotic for a year. And I would follow the self-healing cookbook. If you feel like this, but you want to feel like this, make these meals. And it was amazing to me how food could not only change our mental emotional state, but our relationship to ourselves and our relationship to life. So that is the greatest skill and gift you can give yourself, because we all have to eat 3, 5 times a day, is to know what to choose in order to thrive.
Okay. Oh, that just it's great. It's just so good to hear all of that. Now, what about challenges? What challenges do practitioners, nutritionists, naturopaths face when trying to apply bioindividuality to their patients?
The challenges you face are people, they say they're either too busy or they don't have the time and they want it done for them, right?
Right. It
Just
does take a
someone.
little more work on your part. Yeah, if you have to learn about yourself, oh my gosh, you have to engage your brain and observe and learn. And sometimes you're just like, I got nothing left.
Right. And you just say, tell me what to eat. And that's fine. Our job as clinicians and practitioners is to help people bloom where they're planted. And so if you don't have time and you're running around and you're, eating in the car, whatever it is, like, I just want you to stop for a minute. Stop the car, finish your sandwich, tell me how it made you feel, right? Or I would have all of my clients, and in a lot of our programs, which you've probably seen, it's in our Candida Cleanse, not Gut Thrive, where we do a food mood journal for 7 days. So you can see how you eat, what does that make you feel like physiologically and emotionally? And if you just did that for even a couple of days, you'd start to understand this beautiful biocomputer you're born inside of and how to make it work better. And it's worth the effort. I mean, it pays itself back in spades, because if we don't have our health, which, being a practitioner and working with some of the sickest of the sick, if you don't have your health, you have absolutely nothing else in life. And so nothing else matters if we don't have our health. And so giving it the credence it deserves will give you a better existence.
Makes sense. Yeah, especially to regain your health if you're feeling horrible. And and to avoid wasting time trying five different diets and get, just to see what works, like working on, being mindful and trying one thing at a time. There's a lot of time could be saved too if you're paying more attention.
Exactly. You're right.
Yeah. So last question, what about practical application? Like, we love the idea of figuring out what foods and supplements are perfect for our body at this moment through testing, but maybe people aren't quite ready to spend money, work with a practitioner. Are there ways that we can kind of apply this idea to figure out what helps and harms us just at home?
Absolutely. I do have to recommend the Self-Healing Cookbook by Christina Turner because she goes through the yin yang continuum and she says if you're feeling very yang, which is busy, not enough time, contracted, right? We're going to be, that's this, what are yang foods? That's red meat, that's salt, right? And what do we do? We all crave balance, but when we're extreme on one side, we go like a ping pong ball to the other side, extreme yin, which is going to be alcohol, sugar, something that makes us feel expansive, coffee even, that it's something that's like, ah, like I feel like I can breathe and I can relax. And so really looking at, okay, where are the cravings and are those supportive cravings or destructive cravings? Are you craving things in response to a stress pattern or are you craving things that are actually going to fulfill a physiological need? So I think the practical application of theory is to just ask yourself, okay, it's breakfast time, it's lunchtime, it's dinner time, what do I want to eat and why? And just notice how that food makes you feel. And then you'll know, like for me, if I don't have a carb with my meal, I just don't feel satisfied, and then I'm thinking about food in between meals. I need that half a sweet potato, or I need the plantains, or whatever it is to anchor me. I'm a vata, I love Ayurveda. So, right when you have a sensitive nervous system, you want to anchor yourself with a slow release in carbohydrate in addition to the protein and the fat and the vegetables that you're having. And then there's some people that, hey, I feel tired after I eat. I'm gonna not have that sweet potato and see if I have more energy. And so the practical application to theory is simply paying attention. That's it.
Wow, I can honestly say I've never done anything like that ever. To think about, like, especially how I'm thinking or feeling, like I might have a craving, but I'm certainly not examining it. I'm either just saying, well, yep, I'm gonna eat that, or like, no, I'm not gonna eat, I shouldn't eat that right now because I'm on a diet or because I know it's bad for me, or I should just go to bed or whatever, but I've never examined like that. This is gonna totally change my next week, Krista. Oh my gosh.
I'm so glad. Now I'm going to take a picture of that in my cookbook in the kitchen, and I'll email it to you later of the yin yang continuum so you can understand like where your cravings come from and why.
Yeah, very cool. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much. It's been a true pleasure. I feel like I'm talking to a superstar here, and you are a superstar new mom, and we're just all from all of us at Kitchen Stewardship, a big hug to you and little baby.
Thank you. It's such a blessing to have this little guy.
Oh, good. Kitchen Stewardship fans, definitely look up Krista at thewholejourney.com, and wherever we share this video interview, we will have links above or below or inside to make sure you can find her online. Thanks again, Krista.
My pleasure.